The following is an encore episode of Hour 1 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Turley Frequency with Kevin Turley, a show for you and by you. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome to the Turley Frequency for the first time in the great year of 2023. A very, very happy new year to you wherever you're listening to us, whether it's in the great state of Alabama or another part of the United States or around the world on the mobile app, the Archangel app. You are very welcome to joining us here today on the show. It's a bittersweet start, though. As you know, today, or this 2 days' time, Pope Benedict will be laid to rest. We heard about his death on Saturday here in Europe. And I will be speaking to Salim Taddy in the next segment, who is the Europe correspondent for the National Catholic Register. And she will be talking to us about the life and legacy of the late, great Pope Benedict the 16th. So that's something to look forward to in the next segment. Top of the hour, of course, we've got the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you are more than welcome to join us on that, 888-928-0881, or text me on 251-928-2111. And thank you for all your messages during the Christmas break, especially to Tim. Tim sent us a lovely note. We prayed for Tim. He had a medical procedure he was worried about, and he sent a lovely note over the Christmas period to say that all went better than he could have expected. Very, very well. So that's great news. It's with the power of the chaplet, Tim. It's wonderful that we can be with you at that time. And do let us know if there's anything else we can do for you. And that goes to everybody listening. You out there, we are willing and happy to pray for you, whatever your intentions are. In the final segment today, it's story time, as you know. And the story time is about another pope and another death. It's the time that I went to the lying in state and the funeral of the great John Paul II. And I'm going to tell you all about that. It was quite an adventure in the final segment today. But before we get into all that good papal stuff, I must find out whether Mike had a good Christmas. Mike, did you have a good Christmas?
Hey, Kevin. Yes, I had a wonderful Christmas. It's always, of course, great to be first of all, to get rest. First of all, to be with the family. Second of all, to get rest. It was very, very joyous. One of the best Christmases yet. To spend that that quality time and see the kids' faces light up during Christmas. They got up in the wee hours of the morning, and I got a little nap after after we did presents, but
it was, what time, Mike, was the present opening? Was it like 3 a.m.?
No,
4 a.m.?
No, my son Jordan and my daughter Stella woke up around 3:30, but we didn't really open presents. They went back to sleep. I think we didn't really open presents until around, I think it was like 5-ish or so, but. They let Jen and I sleep just a little extra longer.
and Jennifer, if you and the children are listening, Mike did not say that he had a rest from the family at Christmas. He said he had a rest and time with the family.
Exactly.
So Mike, I must
for
ask
clearing
you.
That up. Yes.
New year, new resolutions. Do you make resolutions?
I do, and my New Year's resolution is to spend time in the Word. One of the things I got for Christmas is a daily reflection, daily prayer, and reflection. And so I got one of those. It's one of those 365, days a year where you can reflect. And I'm also doing a program online where you read the Bible in a year, so trying to do that.
Wonderful.
Grow closer to Christ in that way, you know, spiritually, and just develop that relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a great start to the year. I mean, it's a shame. I presume Reed never came back. I mean, they never stay. So it's just you and me again, isn't it?
Oh, luckily we got him. We got him back. He wasn't scared off. Were you, Reed?
I'm here, Kevin. I made it into 2023.
Reed, you came back.
Yes, sir.
Were there no other openings?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't want to take them. I mean, they'd have to be pretty cushy in order for me to leave my current situation.
Tell me, Reed, how was your Christmas?
It was awesome. You know, like Mike said, I caught up on rest and things like that. I traveled to Atlanta, Georgia, and stayed with my family for a couple nights there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
that's wonderful. And so just, was it lots of feasting in Georgia?
Yes, it was. We had prime rib and mm-hmm. And just a merry time, just eating. My family in Alabama will normally have like a Christmas day, like ham and then like broccoli casserole, things like that. And then in Georgia we had prime rib.
Is that what the big Christmas feast is in Georgia? Prime rib.
Oh, it depends. That's just what my dad likes to cook on that day.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun. What was your dish on the day, Mike?
The dish on the day was a turkey that Donnie cooked, of course, in his smoker, and we had a hash brown casserole. Had ham as well, and. We had a green bean casserole. I love green bean casserole.
Mm.
And we also had, cranberry. Canberry, as we call it here in the States. I'm not, you know, my wife and my son, my kids like it, but I'm not a big fan of canberry. I like canberry. Right. I like cranberry juice, but not canberry. Mm.
Well, it's an acquired taste. And
Rita,
I must ask, Mike's New Year intentions are extremely worthy. Do you have any New Year resolutions?
Mine are very similar to his again. The main thing that I wanted to do was just spend more time like reading Catholic literature, you know, mm-hmm. the gospel, of course. But mm-hmm. one thing that I am really, since I started working here, getting more interested in is like... just literature, like writings from just Catholic authors or theologians or things like that.
That's great. Well, this is a very, very worthy, both of you are making some great resolutions here. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well,
I was going to say, Kevin, we have a caller on line one.
Oh, we have a caller on line one. I wonder who that is. Hello, caller line one. Who are you?
Hi, my name is Sebastian. Nice to talk to you, Kevin.
Sebastian, wonderful. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm currently in Scotland, but originally I'm from Germany. And when you were asking for people to call regarding the late Pope Benedict XVI, I said that would be a good opportunity to call and share a few, say, anecdotes or interesting facts that I personally have experienced, you know, regards to Pope Benedict the 16th.
Wow, Mike, we've hit jackpot on this first call of the year. We've actually got a German calling in about Pope Benedict. Sebastian, you're very welcome to the show. This is the Turnley Frequency coming to you live from Mobile, Alabama. Well, Fairhope, Alabama, to be exact. The studio broadcast from beside the Bay of the Holy Spirit. Could you get any better than that as coincidence? So, listen, how did you hear the news about Pope Benedict's passing?
I mean, obviously, these past days and past weeks, I was with the family, and I heard basically the message initially of Pope Francis in the media that Pope Benedict was really sick. So I guess I heard it like anybody else.
You just your phone went pinged, and there was the news.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
What was the first thought that went through your mind?
Well, obviously, him being German, this was a very significant theologian, very significant pope that I had well liked even before he had become pope, and I had read quite a lot from him even before that. You know, and I remember when he became pope in 2005, I was working in London, actually for a German insurance company, and there was another colleague of mine who was also German, and he used to be a Jesuit, so he was an ex-Jesuit, but he no longer had the faith. But he was following the news, and we were both working in a big open plan office with around 100 people, you know, insurance underwriters, people kind of, you know, hanging over their computers, over their desks. And as soon as Pope Benedict was elected, this chap jumped up and come running to my desk shouting, "It's Ratzinger, it's Ratzinger." And everybody turned around. So the whole office knew that it had been Cardinal Ratzinger had been elected Pope back then. So, it was very, very amusing.
So, Sebastian, I know we're all Catholic brothers and sisters and we're part of a universal church, but there must have been something of a sort of national pride that such a great man and was German and that he was now Pope.
Very significant. I mean, many German newspapers after his election, you know, had him on the title pages, and some titled like, "We are Pope," you know. So it was very significant, even for people who were not Catholic. Everybody was really proud, and there was an increased interest after that, I think, in the papacy and Catholicism. He came, of course, then to the World Youth Day in Cologne very shortly afterwards, and he was in this big ship going down the River Rhine, greeting everyone. Yes, it was a wonderful atmosphere.
Were you at that?
I wasn't there. I actually saw him when he came to the UK in 2010, but I hadn't seen him at the World Youth Day in Germany.
And what was that like, being resident in the UK, but with a German pontiff visiting?
Yeah, it felt quite interesting. There I was in Hyde Park, you know, with a lot of Brits, friends from Britain, Catholics watching a Pope. That was actually German. Yeah, I had a very close connection to him, you know.
What about your wider family, Sebastian? A family that live in Germany or still in Germany? I mean, what did they share? Was the joy equal within Germany, do you think, amongst German Catholics about a German Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger?
Yeah, it was very much. I mean, there was always this situation that he, of course, was also a bit misunderstood, you know. So there was the opinion was, I guess, divided around him a little bit, yeah. But no, in generally speaking, my wider family and everyone else was really pleased. And that is especially because, I mean, I'm from an area in Germany which is the southwest,
yes,
the Black Forest, he himself came visiting this area quite frequently. There was a small Catholic university where he gave summer courses before he became a pope. So he was quite well known in the area. And in fact, his private secretary, Monsignor Genswein, he is from that very area, the Black Forest. His father was a blacksmith, so a very folksy and down-to-earth character. He was a curate there for a few years. So a lot of my family know him personally and have spoken to him over the years, because obviously he came visiting Monsignor Genswein, or Cardinal Genswein, I think, quite a lot then.
Was he the cleric who was always sort of at the shoulder of Pope Benedict?
Yeah, I think he was everywhere. I mean, he was his private secretary. He went everywhere.
He was a very good-looking man from memory. Is that right? He was very sort of photogenic. Yeah, that's
very
one.
Photogenic.
So
I mean, I think he was with him to the very last moment. I mean,
is that right?
To the day that he died, I think. So he was very, you know, he was around him 24 hours a day.
Wow. Have you had any communication since the death about what the reaction has been in Germany?
I mean, generally speaking, everybody has a huge respect for him. I mean, everybody realizes that he was a hugely important theologian and also Pope. I think everybody also realizes that his decision to resign in 2012 was a very difficult one. People have respect for him taking the difficult decisions. I mean, you know, while some will agree, some will disagree with it. So I think he is very well respected, and I expect many Germans now to go to Rome and pay their respect while he's lying in the Vatican.
You're not tempted yourself?
I am actually, yeah. I mean, I am actually. I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, I said at the start, Sebastian, that in the final segment is story time. I'm going to tell about the unexpected way in which I went to the lying in state of John Paul II back in 2005. And I have to say, I don't want to say too much about the story before I tell it, but I was in two minds, but my wife pushed. And I have to say, it was one of those experiences that you never, ever forget. So
yeah, that makes sense to me.
I don't know if that increases the quandary of whether to jump on a plane and head to Rome and join the queue, but you'll not regret it if you do. But what if you don't? I presume you'll be watching the funeral on Thursday.
I'll be watching the funeral. You know, in the UK, nothing is working right now. Everyone is striking. So I might be able to fly to Rome, but I'm not able to get to the airport or back home from the airport. So
That is true.
But yeah, no. I'm really thinking about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, Liz, thank you so much for calling in, Sebastian, and giving us a little Germanic flavor of the event. I mean, it is a sad occasion, the passing of Pope Benedict, but for Christians, it's never sad when somebody has lived such a good life as he has. And as we say with St. Paul, death, where is your sting? So it's also a time to celebrate the life of a wonderful man. I think his stature will only grow in the decades ahead. And I think as well, I don't know if you agree with this, Sebastian, that he did something for the image of Germans abroad.
Yeah, definitely. I think he did. I think he always had that reputation that he was very aggressive, like a Rottweiler. And I think many people think Germans are that way. But when he actually became Pope, it was clear that he was very soft-spoken, very appreciative, very sensitive. People thought he was very thoughtful, and I think people like that.
Absolutely. I have to say, my experience of Germans has always bucked the stereotype. You know, the stereotype which has been fed to us through propaganda of one sort or another. It's always the opposite. And Pope Benedict, for me, is very typical of Germans. He's cultured, he's very polite, and he must have been a joy to be with. As it has been with you, Sebastian, thanks for calling in. Do call again.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Bye, Kevin.
Well, there you have it, folks. We have a caller from the UK, but originally German. Sebastian called in just to give us a little flavor of the life and legacy of Pope Benedict, something we're all reflecting on in these days. Now, when we come back in the next segment, we will be reflecting even more on that with Céline Tadi, who, as I say, is the Europe editor or Europe correspondent. I've just promoted her, the Europe correspondent for the National Catholic Register. But do feel free to join us at any point in that conversation with your memories of Pope Benedict, your thoughts on him as Pope or as Cardinal Ratzinger. You can join us at any time at 888-928-0881. Okay, we'll be back after these words. Stay with us here on Archangel Radio.
When your heating or cooling system bites the dust, you're in trouble. It's getting too uncomfortable outside and inside to put off replacing it any longer. So let Farnell Heating and Air help. When you replace your old unit with a new system, you'll pay a whole lot less on monthly utility bills. So call Farnell Heating and Air at 251-471-2674 for a quick, easy replacement. That's 474-2674 or online at farnellac.com.
I am Robert Overmeyer, manager of Ascension Funeral Home and a member of St. Pius X Parish and a proud supporter of Archangel Radio. At Ascension Funeral Home, we are dedicated to providing personalized service in a warm and caring environment. Our experienced and dedicated staff can work with you to ensure your loved one's funeral is complete with all the traditions and rituals of the Catholic Church. For details, call Ascension Funeral Home at 634-8055 or visit ascensionfuneralgroup.com.
In baptism, we are wed to Christ. The Eucharist is nothing other than the wedding feast of the Lamb of God. That's the significance of the words right before we receive Holy Communion. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
The Sunday Gospel Reflection, heard every Friday at 7:45 a.m. on LA Catholic Morning.
Your work is something, your life outside of church is something that contributes to your sanctification. It is the place that you most often encounter the Savior, that you want to look for the face of Christ in your life and not have it be a big chasm between your worshiping on Sunday and the rest of your life.
Helping you to find the face of Christ, this is Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.
This is Father Victor Ingles, Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Mobile, with a vocation consideration. If you are young, single, male, and Catholic, and have never considered a call to the priesthood, don't be afraid to ask the question today. Because after all, if you don't ask, how would you ever know if he is calling? This has been a vocation consideration. I'm Father Victor Ingles, asking you to consider what vocation God has planned for you.
Coach Philip Rivers on Faith and Football.
It's way bigger than the football part of it. I want them to, and we want them to, grow in virtue and all those traits that correlate in both football, which is why I love the game, and life and your faith and being a father one day and a husband. It's all the same. You know, the toughness, the sacrifice, the discipline, the handling adversity, the teamwork, all those things you can bring out and grow in by playing more than just football, all high school sports, in an environment that's cultivated the right way. So that's what we want. We want them to have a great experience playing with us, and then we also want them to look back and go, you know what, I'm better for having played football. I'm a better person now than I would have been if I had not played at St. Michael.
Archangel Radio, continuing your Catholic education, high school and beyond.
So there's so many resources for the average Catholic out there today that weren't available 5 years ago. So take that technology, go in the quiet of your own room or your own house, and then study about a faith that you have questions about. Or if you're already a Catholic, learn more about your faith,
right,
more importantly.
Right.
Learn more about your Catholic faith by listening daily to Archangel Radio.
I was deeply grateful for the understanding, support, and prayers of so many of you, not only here in Rome, but also around the world. The decision I have made after much prayer is the fruit of a serene trust in God's will and the deep love of Christ's Church. I will continue to accompany the Church with my prayers, and I ask each of you to pray for me and for the new Pope.
Hello and welcome back to Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio, where we are remembering the late great pontiff, Pope Benedict XVI. And those words you just heard were Pope Benedict speaking on the 20th of February 2013, when he stunned the world by announcing that he was resigning as Pope. I can still remember my own shock on hearing that. I couldn't quite believe that a reigning Pope had somehow resigned. And no doubt you have memories of this Pope and of his papacy, and I'd love you to share them with us on 888-928-0881 or text me on 251-928-2111. Even if you just want us to pray, and especially for Pope Benedict during the Divine Mercy Chaplet, wouldn't it be lovely for people to text in their requests that we pray for him? Now, to help us to remember him and his legacy, I'm delighted to be joined by Solène Tadi, who is the Europe correspondent for the National Catholic Register. Solène is French-Swiss and grew up in Paris, and after graduating from university with a degree in journalism, she began reporting on Rome and the Vatican for Alitalia. Thereafter, she joined L'Osservatore Romano, which is the Vatican's paper in 2015. She's a frequent appearer on EWTN and many French-speaking Catholic media organizations, and armed with a bachelor's degree in philosophy from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas, she recently translated into French Defending the Free Market, the Moral Case for a Free Economy by the Acton Institute's Father Robert Sirico. Solène, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you for having me, Kevin, and Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, and it's our pleasure to have you. Hello, you're French, Solène. I don't think you're in France today, are you?
No, I'm currently in Budapest, covering the news from Budapest, but also still across Europe for EWTN News and the National Catholic Register, more particularly. And so, yeah, I'm focusing on Budapest right now.
When did you hear the news about Pope Benedict?
Well, I was well prepared because I still have many friends in the Vatican, and so we were all expecting that news. And unfortunately, I was already in Budapest when I heard the news, and I was preparing for the New Year's Eve, and we were all, although we were expecting that news, we were all in shock, because although you can never really be well prepared for this kind of event, because you would like to have him forever, but you know, it was his time had come. So
was that how you felt, really? Were you sort of relieved at the end of his illness?
Yeah, in a way I was happy for him, because he said himself that he had been expecting that moment for many years. He was exhausted and he couldn't wait to join his brother, his sister, his parents. So, you know, everyone who loves him could, in a way, just suddenly be relieved. But it's harder for us who are staying, and we keep fighting a good fight. He will be a great intercessor now, but, you know, it's always a shock.
It's interesting you use the word loved, because that's the impression I get when they speak of Pope Benedict. He's a pontiff, and I include myself, who people really grew to love.
Exactly. That's... He's a very misunderstood pope outside of the church for all those who didn't know him. But all those who crossed his path at some point felt love for him. It's something that is very difficult to explain. Myself, I used to completely, I didn't really like him before I met him like a long time ago when I was still a student. But my first meeting with him, I met him in a very unexpected way, and it completely changed me immediately. I felt like so much tenderness for him, so much affection, because he was a man, like a holy man, so incredibly sweet and humble. And we all have the same impression, and it's lovely. I love to hear all the testimonies of people who met him, and just to hear that they all had the same impression.
Talk to me about that time you first met him, Solène. Where was it, and how did it come about?
It was in 2011, the very first time I met him. So I was a young student back then in journalism, and I was doing an internship in a press agency. And with a very small group of journalists, we heard that Pope Benedict would go to Loreto from the Vatican railway station that hadn't been used for decades. And Pope Benedict was using it again. And that's the very last time a pope ever used that railway station, actually. And so I was very happy to be able to go inside the Vatican with, we were just a dozen of people, journalists and church leaders, and we were there and we waited for him and he arrived. So we had a brief meeting with him. We could greet him. And so I was not really a practicing Catholic back then. It was all new for me. I came from Paris. It was a different culture. And it changed me deeply, like the first seed of my really my way back to the church, to my Catholic faith, were put in that very moment because of his face was the face of love. And I really felt the God's love through him on that very day. And it is a moment we'll never forget, really.
That's incredible, Solène. Did you speak to him one-to-one?
Very briefly, yes, but we could greet him. It was a very informal moment. So yes, we had this incredible blessing to be able to greet him, and it was very brief, so I didn't have a proper conversation with him, but I saw enough of him to feel the kind of man he was.
It's incredible just how you're even describing it, Solan, because it's almost like the in the New Testament, you know, when our Lord meets people and changes them. I mean, it's almost like just being in the presence of this man. He radiated holiness, right?
Exactly. That was, you know, I mentioned the fact, yes, I felt like this great love coming from something almost supernatural, you know, something coming like something very providential, something. Mm-hmm. So it was really the vicar of Christ, and I could feel it with my all the cells of my body. And so that's why it was a life-changing experience. And that was the starting point of a long journey back to my real Catholic faith, the Catholic faith of my childhood. But I feel like I owe him so much.
Yes, and what you're saying there is, he the title Vicar of Christ is one given to all popes, but that he essentially was the Vicar of Christ, i.e. Christ's representative here on earth in your life. That's wonderful. After that, did you start to read the writings of Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope Benedict?
Providentially, again, during my internship, I was asked to write a lot of features, stories about the main aspects of Pope Benedict's thought. And so I was brought to read a lot of things from him, from his writings, and I was completely edified, completely thrilled by all the things I was reading. And I felt like something was changing within me, and it's all started with him. Then I was a translator at the Vatican for the 2012 Synod on New Evangelization, and that's how I had the honor also of translating Pope Benedict's speeches. And it gave me the opportunity to get to know him even better, and that's how I saw the perfection of the Catholic faith, and it is Pope Benedict who showed that to me.
That's incredible, you know. I mean, I've known you for a few years, Solène, and I had no idea of this connection with Pope Benedict. That's absolutely incredible and wonderful as well. You're a theologian by training and by your studies and that. I mean, how would you sum up the theology of Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict?
So yeah, my training is more of a philosophical one. Unfortunately, I was at the Angelicum, but yeah, I'm not sure if I would be the best person to describe that. What I could say about him is that he made theology accessible to everyone. Some people would say, oh yeah, but he's too intellectual. We need to reach out to people. But it is exactly what he did, because the way the relation between faith and reason, of course, John Paul II was already very strong and very accessible on that, but Pope Benedict was incredibly reassuring. He would, you know, a lot of people who were away from the faith were able to go back to the faith because everything was so logical, everything was so clear. So, and of course, he was like the kneeling theologian. He was like the kneeling theology. It is something that struck me a lot, like kneeling theology. That's how I really understood the mystery of the faith, when this term, the kneeling, the kneeling theologian. That's how he really he explained the very basics of the Catholic faith in such a bright way. That's why I think he's like he's. And everyone knows that he's probably one of the greatest, not only intellectual, of course, the greatest theologian of the past centuries, because of that reason.
You're listening to Solène Tadi, who is the Europe correspondent for the National Catholic Register and correspondent for EWTN and CNA and all good outlets. And she's speaking to us this morning from Budapest in Hungary about the life and legacy and the impact that Pope Benedict had upon her life. Solène, he was, you said the word before, he was controversial, but in some ways he was controversial only because he told the clear gospel truth.
Yes, and there is a lot that is still unknown about him outside of it, for those who don't know him because of the mainstream media and a lot of false information that was spread about him. But we need to really know the historical context in which he evolved, because he took part, he's the last pope who actually took part in the Vatican II's works. he was invited as an expert, and back then he was considered a real progressive because he would say himself that they should somehow break the Latin wall to make the gospel more accessible to as many people as possible. So he was considered incredibly bold back then by his peers. And at the same time, afterwards, he also was faced with all the consequences that a misunderstood message of Vatican II, of where it could lead, actually. And so then at the head of the congregation for the doctrine of the faith, he had to some kind of recenter the questions of faith because of all the excesses that were witnessed in the 1970s, and all the priests, even in Latin America, who chose to follow all the Marxist revolution, and they were following these experiences that were so contrary to the Catholic faith. And so Pope Benedict was, at the same time, when he was still the prefect, Cardinal Ratzinger had to face also the consequences of a misunderstood message from Vatican II. And so he kind of tried to correct what went wrong while keep maintaining the message, the core message of Vatican II. So his task was incredibly hard. He tried to balance all that. And some people, they just don't understand that. They don't know that part of his life as well during Vatican II, where he was considered such a progressive theologian. And he would describe himself as a progressive. But he just tried to defend the core of the faith, and then people would call him the Rottweiler of God and all. But you should just, you know, it should be put back in the historical context and see how difficult was the world in which he evolved, and he tried to defend the core of the Catholic faith in this incredibly sensitive context. And I think it should be remembered again and again so people understand that.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, Solène. I think you've summed it up wonderfully there, that he is misunderstood. But I mean, I would go a bit further, and maybe we can talk about this in the next segment. But I think there's misunderstanding from the ignorant, and I think there's disinformation from those who know better, if you know what I mean. There was almost a campaign against Pope Benedict from the moment he assumed office. And it was to do with the fact that he had been part of the congregation that looks after the Holy Faith and keeps us all right, and he was head of that. So
it had to be tough because the excesses were just too big, and the church was going adrift, and because of all this revolution and all the experiences, the post-Vatican II experiences that
Just hold those thoughts, Solène. Hold that sentence, because I can't wait to hear what you say next. You're listening to Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio with Solène Teddy, live from Budapest, Hungary. We're back after these words, speaking about Pope Benedict.
The mission of Spring Hill College is cura personalis, the care for the spiritual, social, and intellectual growth of each person. Our students transform during their time here on the Hill. At Spring Hill College, our bachelor's and master's degree programs have recently been recognized among the best in the state. Our reduced tuition and generous scholarships make us one of the most affordable Catholic colleges in the country. Pursue your growth and apply for free at shc.edu/apply.
Snelling Staffing Services has been a member of the Mobile and Baldwin County area for the past 45 years and is a proud sponsor of Archangel Radio. We work with hundreds of clients in the office services, labor, and administrative fields. If you're looking for a new career path or need employees for your business, give us a call at 251-473-1001 or visit our website, snellingmobile.com, for a listing of our job opportunities.
We have to make time for prayer. We don't simply find time for prayer. We will never find time. You have to make time for relationships. You have to make time for God.
Make time for prayer. And while you're at it, make time for listening to Archangel Radio.
St. John Bosco came from a poor family in northern Italy and began experiencing vivid dreams as a boy. He was ordained a priest in 1841 and began doing prison ministry. He founded the Salesian Order, and his vivid dreams have often proved to be prophetic. He was known to say, "Guard your eyes, since they are the windows through which sin enters the soul." St. John Bosco, pray for us. This has been A Walk with the Saints on Archangel Radio.
Christianity is a relationship. It's not a to-do list. It's a relationship of becoming the person that we're in love with.
Learn how to deepen your relationship with Christ by listening to Archangel Radio.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome back to Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio, broadcasting on 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, and across the nation and across the globe on the internet, streaming and all those good services, especially the Archangel Radio app. Well, it's a kind of bittersweet day because it's New Year's. It's the first show in the new year when we should be bouncing around and celebrating the new year and talking about resolutions and all sorts of good things and how wonderful Christmas is and was. But it's slightly bittersweet, as I say, because during that period, we learned of the passing of Pope Benedict XVI, who died last Saturday on New Year's Eve, passed from this world to the next and on to his eternal reward. And I'm saying I'm delighted to be joined by my friend and colleague Solène Tadi, who is the Europe correspondent of the National Catholic Register, amongst many other outlets that she helps and appears on. And she's speaking to us live from Budapest in Hungary about the life and the legacy of the late great Pope, but also the very personal way in which he touched her life, perhaps changed it forever. Solène, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, just before we went to the break, you were talking very much and very interestingly about the change in Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict, as you said, at the Council, the Second Vatican Council, was seen as very much part of the progressive wing. Perhaps Karl Wojtyla was also seen as that. But by about the late 60s, he began to have second thoughts about the way in which the Council or the shape of things was drifting. And this came at a time when there were great changes and revolutionary elements at work within Europe, in countries like France and Germany, but across the continent. And it was those experiences that really changed him, isn't that right?
Exactly. He was facing incredible challenging. He was witnessing, indeed, the consequences of a misunderstood Vatican II. And so he had this incredible challenge to rebalance the post-Vatican II church between excesses, but at the same time, without denying also the teachings of Vatican II, because he was also part of it. So it was an incredibly difficult mission that he had that was criticized by many. But despite all that, of course, he had many enemies, ideological enemies, but he was always respected by everyone. And I think it is something important, something that should be remembered, because when he was elected the Pope, he was elected very quickly in just one day, and it is something quite unusual. And despite all the controversies that could happen around him, he was that respected that he was undeniably the main authority among the cardinals. And I think it is also something that should be remembered. And of course, he had a lot of criticism. He was attacked by many people. A lot of very unfair information were spread about him, especially his youth in Germany. They were all fake news. It was very easy for some mainstream media to use these events from his childhood to use that against him. But we know that his family was a very anti-Nazi family. And on the contrary, he suffered so much from the persecution against the church from the Nazi regime that I think it really shaped his personality as well and made him also very uncompromising with the Catholic faith.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I mean, a lot was made of the Hitler Youth thing, but it was a cheap shot because I mean, children were conscripted into it and they had no choice, and it reflected a kind of prejudice, I think, against him and against Germans maybe in certain countries rather than the actual historical truth, because there was nothing that was at least bit Nazi about this man from the get go. But moving it along a little bit, Solène, because you're probably too young to remember. I remember the day that he was elected, the night he was elected. It was nighttime in this country. And I remember the great excitement there was when Pope Benedict was elected. Because, I mean, to be honest, it was a bit like watching a horse race where you know the favorite's going to win, right? So when we heard his name, we weren't surprised. We thought, yeah, great. But there was two senses. There was a sense of relief that there would be a continuity with the late, great John Paul II, but also that this man was up to the challenge intellectually, spiritually. He would make a great pope. There was a real sense of excitement amongst the faithful, never mind the people who were writing columns in various secular newspapers who could only reach for the cheap jibes about his childhood. But it's interesting because in people's minds, Cardinal Ratzinger and Pope John Paul II are kind of, you know, intertwined, you know, like in the gospel where they send out the apostles two by two. Well, it's kind of Pope John Paul II and Cardinal Ratzinger for nearly 20 years or more reshaped the church, especially, I would suggest, in the publication of the Catechism. Would you agree?
Absolutely. This association between Cardinal Ratzinger and John Paul II was absolutely providential. And so I know that sometimes Cardinal Ratzinger wanted to walk away from the congregation and John Paul II really needed him by his side. So it was the kind of completely providential association. And I think the church didn't collapse after all the craziness of the 1970s, thanks to this divine association, I could say. And absolutely, I couldn't agree more. It was a complete continuity between the two men. They were very different personalities, but it was there was a complete consistency between the two men. And yes, I think their mark will last forever on the history of church. And this is precisely their work together.
Well, you've reported from the Vatican. I know you've lived in Rome for many years. You probably get a better sense than most Catholics of the kind of historical sweep of a city like that. You know that there's a continuity, but there's a way in which history has been unfolded before us. I mean, in terms of his legacy in the coming decades, I mean, how do you see that playing out within the church?
So I think that so after the 1970s, so you mentioned that yourself even better than me, the fact that the church went adrift, and I think that despite the fact that we are still, the church is still losing ground, and there are still a lot of scandals, somehow they made sure that the church would still stand for many more years. And despite the crisis, despite the scandals, they gave like a very solid ground to the church, thanks to their very solid teachings and their writings. We have it's a huge heritage that we have they left behind, and I think it will be enough for us to maintain that. Although, as Pope Benedict said many times, the church that we knew, the church of our ancestors, is going to change. And somehow he said, okay, the church will be less worldly, but it will benefit it. So it will benefit the church. So they gave us all these very solid teachings to make sure that we could face the big challenges that we will have to face. We will have all the intellectual, spiritual tools to do that. And yeah, at the same time, we will have to face the fact that it will be a very different church and a very different reality in a de-Christianized West. But we will be even more, like Pope Benedict used to say, it will give us strength in our faith, because we will not be so that much attached to possessions, to materialism. And he always says that in history, the church has always thrived even more when it was detached from all that. He said historically, it has shown that the church become less worldly and her missionary witness shines more brightly. He always said that, and it was a very strong message. And I'm sure we will see the fruit of that very soon.
I'm listening to you, Solène, and I'm thinking that because I remember the I forget the exact speech, but I remember him talking about the future of the church and the way it would look. And he said it would be smaller, but it'd be more intense and more faithful. And in some ways, everything he is saying is still coming to pass. You know, we're not there yet, but it's kind of heading there. And I just wonder if, like me, I almost see a lot of people think of Pope Benedict as a great theologian and a great writer and a great churchman and all of these things, a great sort of collector and sorter of either, whether it's doctrine or organizing the church or whatever. But I also think there's a real prophetic message within Pope Benedict's writing. Would you agree?
Absolutely. His diagnosis about the future of Europe, the future of the West, the future of the church goes far beyond any theological dimension. He was like, yeah, many people would think that he actually prophesied about our future, and so many things that he described years ago are now happening. And even like the most famous speech that he pronounced about the future of the church was in 2011 in Germany during his trip. So he had this very strong world about the church becoming less worldly and all, but actually it was not new. It has been consistent in his writings across the decades. He was more and more specific about that, saying that, yes, you know, these creative minorities, these creative Catholics in the West, saying that, yeah, we will be facing incredible difficulties, incredible hardships, but at the same time, the Lord will send us the strength that we need. And that's perhaps also why the Lord called him back to heaven to be a successor right now.
Absolutely. You're listening to Solène Tadi, who is the Europe correspondent for the National Catholic Register, speaking to me about the life and legacy of Pope Benedict. Solène, until recently you were living in Rome. What was it like living in Rome with two popes?
So we had the dynamism of Pope Francis, and he was a great communicator. So we have this very, very two different characters. And we have this wise, very wise man, this wise holy man as Pope Benedict living in the monastery of Mater Ecclesiae. And then we have the face of Pope Francis, who is the active Pope and the great communicator. So we had these two men, very different, but somehow it's difficult to describe that. I know that it annoyed also a lot of people. Some people would say that with the presence of Pope Benedict, then Pope Francis would refrain on some reforms. But I think there was a deep respect between the two men, and somehow it's true that probably the presence of Pope Benedict also had an influence on Pope Francis. I think that's a possibility. I think that's important to say that. Yeah.
What did you know about Pope Benedict's final years? I mean, where did he live? How did he live? Who lived with him? Who looked after him?
Yeah, he would live peacefully, quite in a quiet atmosphere at Mater Ecclesiae. He had a small team taking care of him. He would occasionally receive people, but less and less, because it had been very difficult for him to maintain a conversation. It was still his mind was alert. He was very lucid until the very end. That was so remarkable about him, even until the end. Although physically was so diminished, he was in terrible condition. He was incredibly present and lucid. So he would still receive some visits sometimes, it had become even difficult for him to read, which was one of his favorite activities. He couldn't play the piano, which was something that he loved, but he was still surrounded by cats and friends. and people praying for him. And the people that saw him even recently told me that he was still full of love and very a lot of attention. He was still offering blessed rosaries to people visiting him all the time. It was something beautiful about him. Until his last days, he was like that.
And tell me about he had a cat or something, didn't he? Pope Benedict's cat.
He was always surrounded by cats. Some friends of mine who visited him at Mater Ecclesiae told me how cute it was when they entered the apartment and they were surrounded by books about cats. They were like big books about cats. It was a passion for him. So there were several cats in the Vatican gardens. He loved to be surrounded by them. And yeah, like philosophical books and cats was just, and his rosary was all that he truly needed.
And possibly a grand piano as well, because I believe he was quite an accomplished pianist.
Exactly. He was a great pianist, but unfortunately, over the past years, it was impossible for him to play because he was physically in a too poor condition to do that. But yes, a pianoforte, a great philosophical books, a great theological book, and cats, and his rosaries were the core objects around him.
I mean, just as you're saying all of that, Selene, I'm thinking about all those people that tried to caricature him as something rather nasty, you know, rather Rockweiler was the go-to word. And yet we have a man who was cultured, who was very loving, who was very gentle, who was a great intellect and a very prayerful soul. He couldn't have been more different from the secular stereotype that was being pumped out. And it's great that you in particular can come on air today and give us that. So Len, before we wrap up, just tell people where they can find out more about you and your work.
So, well, you can find my articles on the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency mostly. And sometimes I can be heard on some French media outlets or even in Italy on TV or radio, but mostly on the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. And just a final word about Pope Benedict. I think that the history will do him justice and the truth about him will triumph eventually. And he will be remembered for who he was truly.
I couldn't have said it better than that, Selene, and we are so grateful here on Archangel Radio for you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. So thank you very much for being part of the show today.
Thank you so much.
Now, when we come back, we will be doing what we do always at this time, and that is praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you are invited to join us in that. And you can do so by calling in on 888-928-0881, or you can text us on 251-928-2111, 111. No intention too small, no intention too great. We are going to pray with you now, back after these words.